This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
It's working. Greetings and good morning again to everyone. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer. We appreciate his hard work. And Van Wagner is here. I was trying to describe him in our little introduction here. So he's an educator, almost 20 years in the classroom, storyteller, fabulous musician, composer, songwriter, lyricist, folk rap artist, community leader, history buff. And one of the main pushers to make sure that some elements of Danville's history is continually raised up each year. Now it's called the Danville Heritage Festival. How's that for a resume?
That's great. Thank you, Mark.
Do you have a business card?
I don't. The only thing I'd add to that is mediocre fisherman.
Oh, bad. No, yeah. Hey, you and me both. Okay. Finally, I'm on the same level as Van Wagner or something. Wow, fabulous. Okay. Well, good, because you don't have much time to fish anyway, so that works out. The Danville Heritage Festival, do we call you a chair or a coordinator?
I'm just one of the volunteers behind the festival. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and be modest. That's fine. And the Danville Heritage Festival is this week, meaning it starts tomorrow. Unusual tours tomorrow, then a huge list of things on Saturday, and a few things on Sunday. One is the summation of the tennis that takes place, and Sunday evening is the hymn sing. But Danville Heritage Festival, why is Danville's heritage so fascinating? This is something people from around the region go to this because they say, boy, you know, this is a go-to place if you like history.
Well, the real cornerstone is the iron. And so a lot of the festival still focuses on the story of iron in Danville. And Danville has several fascinating claims to fame regarding iron history. You know, one I think a lot of folks have heard of is the first T-rail made with anthracite coal ever made in the United States. But there were a lot of other things along the way that, you know, some more industrial, some smaller. You know, the hook and eye invention was done by a Montour County resident, and just a lot of little details like that, and they all come back to metal, it seems. But by expanding to the Danville Heritage Festival, we're also celebrating other topics. Logging, farming this year especially is being showcased. We have the Montour County Antique Farm Machinery display down at F.Q. Hartman Field that's going to be showcased. We're celebrating Native American heritage. So, yes, iron is still a very important component of the festival, but we've expanded out to all kinds of other topics.
Well, and why? Tell me something about history. What was life like 50 years ago? What was life like 100 years ago? What was life like 150 years ago? It is such a rich story that you tell when you delve into this.
Well, you know, none of us can say with certainty what life would be like because we weren't there, of course. But the one era that I spend most of my personal time researching is the story of the Danville iron ore miners. And they were predominantly mid-1800s, 1850s, 1860s, 1870s. That's the era when a lot of the iron ore mining was taking place. And after spending my life researching what their lives were like, I can comment a little bit on that. They were often borderline making ends meet. They were lucky if they were making a dollar a day if the mines were working. It was not uncommon for mines to go idle for days or even weeks. So what would you do on the side? If you were lucky, you picked up work for a local farmer, you know, day work. Sometimes you'd work all day just for a meal. And it was not uncommon for these folks to travel sometimes miles every day to just pick up a little bit of work. In addition, you're living in a small home that in many cases was owned by the Redding Company. You didn't own your home. You're paying rent constantly. You often had a large family. These things happen. And so I can't imagine the stress. I know a lot of us think of the stress and the burden we think of today. How am I going to pay for my kids' college? How am I going to pay for my car? These folks were thinking, how am I going to get food tonight, you know, on a constant basis? And yet they're really the heroes that I choose to celebrate, because when it comes to the story of Danville, it all started with those ore mines. The whole rest of the story would not have happened if not for the successful mining of the iron ore.
And with that struggle, that sort of drama that's playing out in that life and in that house, comes a character and an art and folk songs and just a real just people so fascinating to study that some people just can't put it down.
Yeah, and I think it says a lot about who they were as a people when in that context of borderline poverty, of very, you know, small means, where did they put their little bit of spare time they had and a little bit of extra money they had, where did they put it? They put it usually into building the local church. So some of the local churches in these mining communities, they were the crown jewel of the community. On the north side of the ridge of Danville is Straub's Church, and that was built by miners, you know, for the mining congregation. That's where many of them are buried. And that was where their priority was in many cases. And there's some really wonderful oral traditions that these miners, after a shift, could be heard walking home from the mines, and they were singing, and they were singing Welsh hymns. So I think that's, again, a comment on their priorities.
All right, so all of that's going to be raised up, really, just about every element we just talked about is going to be raised up and talked about. The whole festival is dedicated to Larry Morton, and as I ashamedly admitted prior to the show, I think I'm the only person in the region who never met him. He died not too long ago, so therefore the festival is going to be dedicated to Larry.
Yes, Larry was a dear friend, but he was also a wonderful artist, and his art really captures, I think, beautifully some of the imagery of the Danville area. Danville, Millville, Shamokin, and other areas. He would draw with a number two pencil train stations and just common scenes of a different era. And what we've done with the work of Dale Hoover and also Becca Dressler of the Danville Business Alliance, they've gotten participating businesses to showcase Larry's work all over Danville this week. And folks can check in at the Cruise Inn on Mill Street, find the festival headquarters, a table at the Cruise Inn, and there will be a paper where folks can actually go on a scavenger hunt and they can try to find every single one of Larry's prints that we have on display this week. And there are prizes, so that's for young and old. And the beauty is a lot of those businesses are air conditioned, so folks can take that as a way to get in and out of the heat.
All right, so the music schedule of events on Saturday. Well, let's start out with tomorrow. Tomorrow the tennis tournament starts, so that's going to appeal to some folks. You can always go to danvilleheritage.com and get details on that. That's open doubles tomorrow at the Danville Middle School. Then at 6:30 p.m., tell us about this unusual hike.
It is unusual. We do a mine tour, and we've done it. This will be the 21st year of doing a July mine tour in the evening. I used to do it with Larry Morton, and also Herman Jones used to help. And it's unique because I think a lot of folks, when they hear mining, they're familiar with the coal region, and that's wonderful. They should be familiar with that story. But when I mention mines in the Danville area, people often seem a little surprised, but that's why we do this tour. We take folks out to several of the abandoned mine sites. The mines we go to are one is a drift, which is one of the simplest forms of mining. There were probably several hundred drifts in the Danville area. And then I think the real jewel...
That's when a mine is just on one level and goes laterally, horizontally.
You got to go straight in. Then I think the real exciting thing is at the very end of the hike, we go to what's called the Harding Slope. And a slope is a far more complicated mine. It would go down at an angle into the earth. And the reason that's complicated is anytime you're going down, you need some way to hoist your ore and your waste rock and your men out of the mine. So there would have had to have been some kind of mechanism for that. The mine tour we're going to has a donkey gin. And you can still see this. It's where donkeys or mules would walk in a circle, and that is what provided the power with cables and pulleys to pull the cars up and out of the mine. It also, on site, had a coal-powered steam engine to pump water. Because, again, if you're going down into the earth, you're going to have a water problem. Why they didn't use the steam engine to hoist the cars, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't the proper horsepower. But it's a really neat sight. It was a double track. And as one car was loaded down into the mine, the other car was hoisted out. So if you can imagine that kind of counterbalance. That's a pretty elaborate mine, you know. So if folks are just picturing a pick and a shovel and a wheelbarrow, that's not. This was pretty elaborate. And we take folks to that site. I was just there yesterday. Boy, is it eerie looking. It is totally flooded and it is filled with this brackish black water, which I think adds to the mystique. So as you can see this hole descending into the earth, you just see this coffee-colored water flooded pit. In other words, the mine is still there. The water proves that. It breathes every time it floods, you know. And we're going to demonstrate some of the tools. We may or may not set off a little bit of black powder to show folks what the explosives were like in the old days. And it's just a really, I think, special sight that folks get to come see.
All right, so that's 6:30 tomorrow at Sunnybrook Park. Too numerous to mention the times and more details, but the Quates Tournament, Tennis Tournament, the 5K Run and Walk, the Classic Car Cruise-In, the Montour Antique Farming Machinery Collectors Association, Association exhibits, living history demonstrations throughout the day at the middle school, lots of food, live music, historical speakers, the furnace talk, as in an iron furnace with Gene Scheib, Danville Heritage Parade Saturday afternoon, the block party after the parade, fireworks at night, encapsulates what's cooking. And a lot of these things, since it's going to be so warm tomorrow and Saturday, are in the Danville Middle School. So if, don't say, okay, it's too hot, don't go. Air conditioning in the middle school, and away you go.
Right. We are very fortunate to have the support of the Danville Middle School administrators, and the whole district's been so supportive. This will be our first year at the middle school, and so having the option of taking some events indoors, we won't be able to move everything indoors, of course, but we have our speakers are already planned to be indoors in air conditioning, and we're considering the possibility of moving the music indoors. I don't know if that decision has been made yet or not, but we'll try and keep folks posted. No matter what, people should plan for the heat, of course. They should, if possible, come as early as they can in the morning. That's some advice I've been giving some friends. Certainly be hydrated.
Which would be 8 a.m. for some of the activities.
Some of the events, yeah, 8 a.m.
8:30, the run, 9 o'clock, the cruising.
I think by 9 a.m., a lot of the historians will be on site and set up. And, you know, it should be moderate temperature at that point. But I think the high point of the day, by the time it starts getting 1 or 2, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the crowds are thinning out or going indoors. So plan accordingly. I would try and do the outdoor component in the morning on Saturday, and then save the indoor things that you can do during the hottest part of the day.
DanvilleHeritage.com. You may need to make it easier for folks to find this. Danville Heritage Festival, fascinating tour tomorrow night. A lot of activities on Sunday and just a few on Sunday. And one of the men that helps glue it all together, one of the volunteers, Mr. Modesty himself, Van Wagner. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure.